Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 199. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin, and joined by two boys I missed very, very much, the Peter Kay and Patty McGinnis of L.A.
That's us.
Jesse and Alex.
Yep. We love tea and scones. We love
you
those things.
You just came back from the U.K. You're like natural born citizens of the UK.
Just like it. Yes. Yeah. Just like it.
Over there, we were the Andy Samberg and Yorma Taccone of London.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's
the
a good
second one.
One.
I don't know the second person.
He's more of a writer. Don't worry about it.
Sure. Fair enough.
He's in the Lonely Island. I did a good joke.
I'm just glad you're back. I was really starting to miss you. You guys were gone so long. I just like started dreaming about like Bigfoot fucking me in the ass. So it's just good to have you back. I don't know why it's correlated.
And we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
And we're home, Jesse. We're back.
We did it. We got here.
There's so much stuff going on, boys. There's so much stuff going on. I know we got to hand this off because this is a very special. Next couple episodes are very special. I gotta update you boys on a couple things. One, did you see the UAP news? What's happening? Yes, you did because I sent it to you in text today. Actually, yeah.
I'm interested in this. Who is it? Who's going to do this?
Senator Gillibrand is running it from New York.
Press conference is about to happen. We're going to see what's up.
The rumors right now are the government is attempting to like rolling out disclosure in a way that's like moving public opinion that UAPs are real to UAPs are real and we know they're not man-made. That's like the rumors of where they're trying to guide U.S. people's opinions
like,
and
okay
thoughts.
So you say rumors,
who knows?
You say rumors,
you have said this multiple times over multiple shows.
My question is just like, what's, is there like a bar somewhere where there's like one dude is like a gray alien?
Avi Loeb is where a lot of that's coming from. He's talking about what he, again, you got to take, he's saying he has he's having conversations with the government and the military right now, and like through him where kind of these rumors are starting to bubble around him. But it's like, we all know how we feel. Avi Loeb is like a very smart man. That's all I'll say.
But if this doesn't happen, it's like has cult vibes.
If nothing happens on the 19th, I give
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying. It has like cult vibes of like, well, if nothing happened, it's because the government, something happened. Like there's an underground secret organization. You know, that's the stuff they say. And it drives me crazy.
Well, the issue last time was that the public hearing was like, we can't talk about that until we get behind closed doors. We can't talk about that. So like everything they were asking the public, we never got an answer to. They got an answer behind closed doors. So I don't know if it means we're going to, it was the congressional public hearing. So I don't know.
But did they get an answer?
I don't know, dude. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm as going as nuts as you. Meanwhile, we got that thing that you linked, Alex, of that UAP that buzzed by the pilot. We got a longer video and the pilot came out today, I think, talking about his encounter. You can see it earlier moving about the clouds before it zips by.
That looks
it's
pretty
fucking
good.
Fucking wild looking.
Yep, looked
pretty good. What about that video I sent you guys where that girl said that stars aren't real?
I mean, they're angels, dude. They're angels. They're angels.
Stars are angels, dude. Fives are twos.
We never talk about, I got to get off the top of my head now. Just got to get it out because I'm not going to have control soon. Other things that we never really talk about, but should.
You know, we have like another show that we do after this that's for Patreon,
no,
right?
No, this is not for this. I'm not talking about news. This is actually just like, hey guys, we've been doing shorts now also for a while. So if you have any social media, Twitter, Instagram, and I even got a Chilluminati TikTok up and running on the YouTube channel, on the shorts. We get two shorts up a week. Check them out. It's an easy way to kind of share the show. Also, just follow all that stuff because my YouTube channel is not Mathis Games anymore. It is at Chilluminati Pod.
What?
So if you want to just go all the Chilluminati stuff, head over that way. And you can, there's like podcast features on YouTube now. So you can kind of treat it like an actual podcast on the YouTube app.
I like that.
And if that's a preferred way of listening, go do that.
And if you are sitting at your web browser anyway, why not head over to patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod? A great website with lots of stuff on it to do. Mazes, word searches. Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking of Highlights Magazine.
Yeah.
But go over to patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. And if you're there, you're family. You know what I mean?
What just happened?
That's what I have to say.
We're the Olive Garden of podcasts. Yeah, that's true.
Breadsticks forever. Never ending breadsticks.
Yeah. I'm the angry Italian husband that's being dragged there on TikTok. That's who I am.
You are. I've always said that about you.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, Italian husband and wife of LA.
Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Are the angry husband and wife from the middle of America of LA. okay, Mathis, let me ask you something then.
I'm ready.
April 19th. Is that what it is?
It is.
So we're going to be sitting there playing Final Fantasy VI on our Nintendo Switches, finally, after many years, with the correct or a correct enough font.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And let's say Gillibrand comes out.
I'll be ordering those wings from Wingstop, the 420 wings they have that are delicious, by the way. I'll be ordering those.
Let's get wild. Let's get wild with it.
I'm down. I'll 420 wing it.
And she comes out and she says, UAPs are real and we'll get back to you. Okay. We'll get back to you later.
We're already there, though. That would be nothing. We've learned nothing. I'd be mad. So, the government already said they are real. I don't know what else.
You said, I give up at that point. Do we just swerve hard to like ghosts or what's the vibe?
No. I give up on the government. Like, okay, if the government comes out and basically the line is the same, they just don't change their opinion. They're real, but that's it. And everything else is a national security secret. We'll talk behind closed doors. I give up on ever thinking that there's going to be enough coalescence to either tell us one way or another what the fuck is going on. I point to the most recent three fucking things that were shot down that we still don't know what they are, and people have just forgotten about it. So if it's like that, I give up on that shit. If they come out and say UAPs aren't real or then they are man-made, we know that much.
This podcast takes a hard turn into advice for men. Number one advice, don't be a dick. There's our advice.
That's huge.
Stay tuned.
We got to take that advice and stretch it over 100 episodes somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone out there taking different pills, we have chill pills. Take a chill pill. Yeah.
All I want out of this public hearing is an iota, a morsel of a little bit more of information, or at least them admitting they know less than they pretend they do. Like, I just want to know. I just want a little bit more, even if they think it's man-made. It just gives me something to like
chew on and understand.
Like, because I wouldn't necessarily disbelieve that what we're seeing is man-made stuff. Like, it's crazy tech if it is. Like, I just want to know what it is, but who knows?
Yeah, I want to believe.
Anyway, I'm mad about that. So
no one can see that Alex just winked at me. Mathis
he
knows.
No, he'll figure it out later. He'll figure it out later.
No, I didn't. I looked away and you winked, and I'm upset about it. Which reminds me, remember that little star I saw turn off?
Angel.
Yeah, the angel fly away in the sky. Yeah. I actually got an email today from some guy who has a BA in physics, is going for his PhD in astronomy right now. And he's told me what I may have seen in a likely way of seeing it is I saw a meteor, but I saw it kind of like at a very specific angle that it burnt up so fast as it hit it, it looked like it turned off. And he sent me like a graph to show it. I'll show you the graph.
Like it was flying so that you couldn't really see.
Just the way it hit and the like how fast it may have disintegrated. It very well could have been that. And I'm going to send you guys a link here in this chat, in this whatever you call this.
I hope that someday, though, you do get a real.
I do, too. I would love to have a weird. I just want to see something weird that I can't explain. But
yeah, this is basically what I was saying. I mean, this is. this is like on the verge of what I can understand, even though it's a very simple chart.
Yeah.
Get what he's, I get the vibe.
Yep. Okay. So if that's, but that's also fucking cool because I'm sure that's like a low percent chance to be at the perfect angle, the perfect moment to see a fucking meteorite to look like it just kind of dims off. That was neat.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I got. Hey, it's episode 199. We are one away from 200, which is going to be in Alex's hands. But today is Jesse's episode 200. Today, it's all about the man, the myth, the legend, the history teacher, the guy with the wiggly eyebrows and a kink for redheads.
You know me too well. Too well.
Anybody who goes to Wendy's. What's up, Jesse? What do you got?
Gentlemen, strap in. Today's going to be fun. As we approach our 200th episode, which technically, if you don't count a 0.5, this could be 200.
This is like technically the soft 200. 200, yeah.
This is 200 part one.
This is a very soft 200. Some might say pudgy. Some might say this 200 needs to, like, I don't know, eat a salad.
Cute, a cute 200.
It's rude.
I want to take control of the show and bring you an episode, not for the fans today. Today, this episode is for you. It's my gift to you.
Beautiful.
Because I bring you two stories that summarize what the show is about.
What did we do to earn a gift from you?
Just be good guys. We've done 200 of these, and I'm still here. This is a treat for me. I get to be a part of this.
We're kings. We're the freaking
kings.
Whoever you said of LA. Yeah.
Apparently, they're very popular in the UK. Peter Kay and Patty McGinnis.
Apparently, they are.
I got that suggestion from Dean himself.
Patty McGinnis. Yeah. Batman Beyond. Yeah, that's right.
So the show's about what we'd like. And more importantly, what makes each of us different in our likes of the paranormal, the mysterious, the out of this world, the crazy crimes that happen. So I figured today I would do two stories, one for each of you.
That's delightful.
It's appreciated.
I figured we start down to earth and then see where the journey takes us. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Tales from the Chilluminati. Our first story is a real mood setter, and one that I'm just going to warn you in advance, it has audio components that might freak some of you out. So if you're at home alone or you're in a car and it's nighttime, whatever the case may be, just be prepared.
Okay.
We've covered missing persons on the show before. We've covered true crime, and we've definitely had our fair share of weird ones. But this one is unique in that for every answer, there are so many more questions. And this story was covered by major news outlets like ABC News. I got a lot of stuff from that. It was covered by, I'm sure, a million YouTube videos are probably on this. But for some reason, we haven't covered this.
I'm curious what this is now, because I wonder if I know.
It involves the complete cooperation of the police, the public. It was a big story for several months. On September 8th, 2015, Corinne McCabe received a very bizarre voicemail. 2 minutes of undecipherable noise that I just want to start the show by playing for you now.
Sounds like he's shitting his pants. Alex on the toilet recently.
Described by many as a Wookiee battle cry.
Sounds like somebody getting eaten.
Or someone doing the eating.
Oh my God.
When the mushrooms hit wrong?
Jesus.
Oh
thought he hung up for a second. Yep. No, we don't need to replay that. We're good there. Thank you very much, lady. I appreciate that. Is that a man on like crack cocaine, just random dialing somebody?
That's where we're starting today. That's the starting point. I've listened to it several times. I cannot figure
out what's
being said.
It's not legible, right?
Yeah, no, okay. That is not. I don't know what the fuck that guy was saying.
Many forensics people have listened to it, and it's really hard to really pinpoint what's being said.
Give it to AI.
The only clear thing that they know is that at the end, towards the end, someone says, stop it.
Yeah, I heard that.
But what is for certain is that Corrine recognized the voice of her husband, Henry McCabe. Her husband.
That was a dude?
Who was missing.
Oh, no. Is this man, like, buried alive?
Currently missing.
Henry, a Liberian man who lived in the U.S. in Mound View, Minnesota, just north of Minneapolis, worked as an auditor for the Minnesota Department of Revenue. And for what it's worth, everyone who knew him said he was a normal dude. Nothing crazy, nothing weird about him. That night, he and two of his friends, William and Jonathan, had gone out to the club for a guy's night. Lots of drinking took place. And Henry was last seen when William dropped him off at a gas station convenience mart at 2 a.m. to pick up snacks or something. He wasn't really sure. He just dropped him off. And he had no idea what happened to him after that. At 2:28, Corrine received a strange call from her husband that she couldn't make out what he was saying, but she thinks he said that he was shot.
In that message?
She then called Henry's brother.
That would be him gurgling to death then. Jesus Christ.
No. So the message is different.
Oh.
She then calls Henry's brother to be like, what's going on? And that's when they discovered that he had left his brother this voice message. And then he vanished.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
And then he vanished.
Whoa. Okay. So that's the last anybody heard of him. He was not already missing when the message came. It was like, well, I mean, he was, but like they weren't sure he was missing. And then they got this message.
They dropped him off. The last time he was seen was at a convenience mart at roughly 1:50-ish, 2 a.m. And then less than 30 minutes later, these calls are coming through.
Whoa.
Moundsview Police Chief Tom Kinney began the search starting at his last known location. And I'm just going to drop this off for... I'll let one of you read this.
The acquaintance told us that he dropped McCabe off not too far from the club, a little after 2 or so in the morning at a local gas station's convenience store, Kinney said. There's been some searching done by both volunteer groups and our own law enforcement personnel along possible routes he perhaps may have walked if he tried to get back home. Nothing of any significance has been discovered yet.
Suspicion, of course, quickly, like in all cases like this, fell on his friends. The last guy who saw him. Yeah, the last piece of the last people that saw him is always like someone you know, that kind of thing. And it was discovered immediately that William, his one friend, had Henry's keys on him. Keys which he probably would have needed to get into his house. Then Jonathan, the other friend, had McCabe's wallet.
Huh.
Even more incriminating was the fact that when detectives went to go look at gas station footage where they supposedly dropped him off, there was no sign of the men at all.
Huh.
But plot twist. Turns out that night of clubbing, it can mess with someone's mind. And it was later revealed that the men were seen at another gas station, and either the police or the men got the name wrong. But they definitely went to a gas station. So at first it was like, oh, it's the friends. And then they learned that the one dude was keeping the keys to prevent him from driving home because he was drunk. And the other guy had his wallet because, according to him, he was wasted and it was preventing him from getting more drinks.
Huh. This is in Minnesota, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
But again, that still doesn't explain how this dude simply vanished.
Yeah.
Kareen told authorities that before the incident, Henry had been offered a job by the Liberian government, his goal being to return home to where he was from. And more importantly, to return home educated so he could become a politician. Because his father was apparently a famous politician in Liberia who was poisoned. And that's why his family fled to America. She wondered, maybe this had something to do with it. Or maybe he secretly returned to his homeland and didn't tell anyone.
Well, what kind of vibe does this guy have? Is he like a fucking like local, like...
No, he's just like a guy who works for the government in Minnesota. And he's like a auditor, just doing his job, living his life. Everyone seemed to think he was like a pretty normal guy.
Not running for office. Yeah. So it'd have to be like revenge if it was like Liberian political intrigue.
Right. But why would they come after this dude in Minnesota?
Right.
You know, like yeah, he wasn't doing anything.
Weird. Random.
To follow up on this, police got access to Henry's phone records and discovered something very interesting. The same day he went missing, he called the same number, a Texas phone number from Texas City, Texas, 24 times. The police reached out to that number, and it was no longer in service.
Huh.
What the fuck? So this guy, they didn't know this. They didn't recognize this number either. None of the people that knew him.
No, the number... No, no one knew the number, but the number was registered apparently to an Elizabeth Bledsoe, but
disconnected.
That's a person they couldn't find, and the number was no longer in service.
Like a day or like weeks later, like just soon
when
after
when they got access to his phone records. Yeah,
I couldn't imagine that much longer after. Regardless,
but it was the same day that he had called, or that he had gone missing. He had called, which is interesting. Detectives, very suspicious about all this, then went back to interview Jonathan. And again, they got more details about that night. Apparently, Henry had given Jonathan his wallet because, in his words, you owe me for not taking me out on my birthday. That's how he was able to get the wallet from Henry. Henry was partying hard, and I guess when his friends arrived at the club, Henry had been there for some time because he was at a barbecue early in the day where he left the barbecue for some reason that was unexplained. He just left the barbecue, and so he got into the club early.
He left a barbecue to go to the club?
Well, it was later in the day. Like, he left the barbecue early and then ended up at this club, and his friends arrived to meet him there, and he was in the VIP section partying hard.
Whoa.
And according to Jonathan, who was being interviewed, he said they didn't really hang out that much. Henry was kind of doing his own thing, drinking really heavily. And Jonathan said, then he vanished. When I was at the club, I stayed till closing and I went to go look for him. He was gone. And I saw that I missed a call from him at 1:50 a.m. The next thing he heard was that he got a call from Kareen saying that Henry was acting crazy on the phone. And he called Henry, who just responded, ignore her, that woman drives me crazy, and that he was a minute home from his house, so he's going to be home soon. He calls Kareen back, and he says, don't worry, he's about to be home.
Is that when she got the he was shot phone call?
At some point after that, yes.
Okay, so when she talked to him, he was already being weird. Then he called him and was like, my wife's just being a bitch. And then he called her and said, that's fine. And then Henry called her back and was like, I've been shot. And then he called his other friend and was like, rah. Okay.
He called his brother and was like, rah, rah, like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. His brother, who was not there, right?
No, the brother is somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting so far. It's a story that again, doesn't make a lot. It's one of those stories that, again, doesn't make a lot of sense. And the more you learn, the more you're like, wait, what?
So shady.
But it's weird that every time the police go back to the friend, he has more to add, which is always very suspicious.
Very suspicious.
So shady.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait, also this detail. Okay.
Then on September 17th, out of the blue, because like I said at the beginning, they form search parties. Out of the blue, one of the people in the search parties who wished to remain anonymous came to the police and said he believed Jonathan wanted to return home, but in all likelihood was dead. And the reason for this is because while taking part in this search party, he noticed four men standing together away from the rest of the group. And he recognized them. He knew who these men were. And they were at the same barbecue that Henry was at earlier in the day. And when he went to go talk to these men, because they looked really suspicious, they all broke up and walked in separate different directions and stopped talking.
Yeah, that's suspicious as hell.
What the fuck went down?
Right?
That sounds like if they showed up at the barbecue, that's probably why he left early. They like saw what it, maybe there's something, yeah, a little something going on there.
So this dude, this informant, dug around and asked people in the community, because I imagine it has to be pretty close knit. It's not that big of a community. He asked people around, you know, these dudes are being cagey. What's up with that? And he kind of cornered each of them separately, and each of them gave him a really strange response. Until he eventually is sent to one man, and whatever was said, they did not release that to the public. No one knows what was said in that conversation between the informant and the man. But the one thing that they do know is that the informant said while he was listening to the same recording that we just heard earlier, he made out that Henry says specifically what Liberian county he's from and says, if you try to hurt me, I'm going to unleash my Vu. And a Vu is a demonic spirit that he claims possesses him. And this dude is saying those noises are Henry saying, this is the demon inside of me trying to come out and kill you if you mess with me.
He was like trying to mad dog this dude, but like maybe
that's what the informant said.
From the Wild Thornberries. Yeah, okay, got it.
Is the wife aware of the demon? I mean, that must be really fun later on, you know, at night.
The wife isn't even around during this time. No, I can't confirm this or not. I don't know if they live together or not. I don't know if he married her just to come to the country. Like, I don't know what the vibe is with the wife.
Oh, okay. 90-day fiance. Love
she
it.
Is like, here's the thing. His home was not the place she lives.
That call wasn't even for her. Yeah.
That's very weird.
So I have no clue what is going on with their family life, but I don't know enough information to like deep dive that.
Damn.
Eventually, police went to talk with one of these suspects, and all like the four shady guys, they were like, we don't know him at all. We were like at a barbecue earlier and he showed up, but like, we don't know this dude. Again, no evidence. They can't pin on it. It's all weird. Circumstantial. It's all a mystery.
What the hell was he doing at the barbecue?
Great question. Then on October 2nd, an anonymous letter was delivered to a police department one town over.
Oh boy.
And the letter, Mathis, reads this.
Henry McCabe, his body next to water, partially buried. Ned searched dog to find. Witness who saw burial scared. Female, young. Asked to come forward. Can remain anonymous and will protect. That's very strange. And creepy.
What?
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's also like, I know where the body is, but I need you to guarantee my safety. He doesn't want to get fucking killed.
Very bizarre, right? Little strange. Little creepy. Yeah.
Little.
Next
then
to
later
water.
That month, two individuals came forward saying they believed Corrine wasn't being truthful with investigators. She knew more.
Based on what?
Great question. They were like, we have heard some things and we don't think Corrine was being truthful. So once again, investigators go back to Corrine and they discovered that after he called her that night, he went missing. She never tried to call him back. Not once. She said she was tired and went to bed. And they were like, how on earth, after hearing that voicemail, are you going to bed?
Yeah, like, what? It's like the craziest voicemail of all time.
She just said she was tired. She just went to bed.
I've definitely gotten like drunk phone calls from people and went to bed, but not like that.
Yeah, no, not that's, I feel like that
and he
would not.
Already got finished telling her that he'd been shot at that time too, right? Or according to her.
That's what she said.
It's a fun game they play. This is I got shot phone call time tonight.
And this is why it continues to be bizarre, because every answer leads to new elements of the story that then send them on other investigations that lead to no answers, that it's continuously around and around and around. And the police cannot figure out what's going on. It's a completely baffling case.
It's a true essence of a wild goose chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then at the beginning of November, a body was found at a lake near New Brighton. On the body was a cell phone, a wedding band, and a VIP wristband from a club. Using dental records, they positively identified the body as Henry. But here's the thing. There were no signs of foul play, no struggle, no stab wounds, no gunshots, no broken bones, no nothing.
Would it have been too long for them to be able to test for like a poison or something?
Well, they did in fact do a test, a tox test on him, and they found his blood alcohol level to be very, very high, but nothing else. And they said potentially those readings could be off because of the body decomposing the lake and whatnot. And so it could read higher than it normally was, but there wasn't anything else in his body. So they assumed official cause of death was drowning.
No, he wasn't shot.
No shot. Not shot at all. So why would he have said that?
Yeah. Did he call her up and say, I was shot? Or did he just kind of similar to this other email? I mean, to this other voicemail.
Great question. We just know what she said.
Whoa.
She said that she heard that he said that he was shot.
Did she get anything if he died?
I don't think so.
Okay. I wonder if she set up a hit.
But this is where it gets real weird and is super interesting to me. Because there were no real directions, no real suspects, all the clues were leading them to nothing, the detectives were searching everywhere. And, of course, on his phone, the one that he called Texas 24 times with, they discovered something else. Apparently, he was still calling that number 3 days after he vanished.
So he wasn't even, so that, when he got that, when he left that message, he wasn't being murdered.
No, he was at least alive for at least 3 days. Some say up until September 10th, which I guess would have been 3 days from 7th to 10th. Yeah.
Could he have been puking his brains out drunkenly on the phone? And that's why it sounds like that.
It's clearly a man making a noise and there's someone else there.
A lot of gurgling, a lot of like.
And it sounds like he's going like, because you can hear him stop and breathe and go like, argh! And then he stops and he says something at the beginning, but it's really hard to make out, almost as if like the phone's in his pocket or he's hiding the phone. And maybe this is him trying to stall so people can come find him. No one is really quite sure. But what they do know is that his phone was being used after his supposed disappearance and potential death. So did they kill someone, kill him later? Like, he didn't drunkenly stumble into the lake, although there was tons of alcohol in him. So what happened? Was he drunk for 3 days?
Like on a bender? I doubt it. Like, he's calling a number in Texas.
All we know about his life are what people said that they knew him as, but did his wife or friends give more about what he was like? Or are they pretty cagey about or vague about how he was prior?
Everyone said he was just like a normal dude. He had this dream of returning home to Liberia where he would go and follow in his father's footsteps. And his father was killed, so potentially there's a connection there. But
why
there's
come
no
all
evidence
the way over here? Yeah, why come over here no and kill like an office suggest- guy?
Why not wait till he goes back to Liberia? Like, that doesn't make any sense. The barbecue angle is weird because they're like suspicious dudes there and he leaves early and that's the thing. But that goes nowhere. The phone calls go nowhere. The night of drinking goes nowhere. The drop off, if he was close to his home, that goes nowhere. None of it leads anywhere.
Man, were the calls connecting?
To the Texas number?
Yeah.
Apparently,
he was talking to someone a bunch of times.
Well, they don't know that. What they do know is that Corrine was talking to her husband for a while that night. So when he called her, they talked. He didn't just like, I'm being shot, and then hang up. Like, there was 2-3 minutes of conversation. But that still went nowhere. No one has answers. It's a very bizarre case. No evidence that links to anything except for that one recording, which is one of the creepiest, weirdest recordings I've ever heard.
And nobody knows what happened to him. He's just a dead body in a hole.
Yeah.
partially buried.
Huh.
And when they never talked to the witness.
They talked to all the people that were around him.
The witness, female Young from the note.
No one knows who that is.
Yeah, they never talked to her, huh?
It was a note that was dropped off. I guess potentially, according to the note, from a scared young woman. But no, nothing. I would have dusted for fingerprints. I would have searched for that. That goes nowhere.
Holy shit.
What in, oh man, in Minnesota.
I thought you were going to tell me that somebody else got a crazy message from their husband and that it was like happening. I was going to be like, ah.
No, this is a 2015 one-off. You can go look at the ABC News story about it where it was happening live, like in the moment. And they're like, still missing. We don't know what happened to him. Here's the message you left. Like that. I think it's like Leslie Stahl reporting. It's crazy. It's so weird.
There's been a couple cases of like people floating in water in Minnesota without any marks on them. Nobody knowing how they died. I thought, because you said
when we talked about the death of Edgar Allan Poe, didn't he have a very bizarre death like that too? That was drunk.
He was found found like raving and then he died in the street.
Yeah.
But like the thing that's crazy to me is like he was at a barbecue, no leads. He was at a club. His friends lied about where he was. They had his keys and wallet. No leads. Like, they don't seem to be implicated. It seems like he got in a fight with his wife on the phone because when somebody called him, he was like, don't worry about my dumbass wife. Right?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's insane.
Maybe she got him killed. Maybe he was mean and abusive.
I think the demon ate him alive, dude.
Again, they're looking at all the phone records. They're doing all that stuff. There's no indication she was planning anything.
Maybe the demon is him when he's drunk and he's just a violent.
It is a weird thing to include that he was like, I have my voo and I unleash my demon. Like, that's a weird thing to say at any point. I mean, like, culturally, I don't know, like, the Liberian mindset, but like.
Was this dude spiritual like that?
Great question.
I wonder what his religion, I wonder like what he did. I wonder like if he was like a spiritual guy, like why he would say, like, is that something that you just say in Liberia? Like, I'm going to open a can of whoop ass on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to unleash my voo. Maybe it could be. I don't know. Like, maybe it's one of those, like, we all have a,
because it is kind of
light wolf and a dark wolf. Like, they could be like one of those. I don't know. I have no clue. Again, they tried to follow up. They tried to hunt down information and every single lead led to nothing.
Damn.
Wild.
If you're a Liberian listener of the Chilluminati podcast, let us know what unleashing your voo means in your culture. So that was a story for Alex.
All I want to, like, it's mean that you did that first, because all I want to do now is just Google more about that guy.
Yeah, you want to dive down the rabbit hole and figure the fuck out.
Well, get ready, because the next one is for you, Mathis.
Okay. I'm curious what you chose.
We were here on Earth, but now let's look to the skies.
Yes, to the stars.
And talk about a story that above. I'm blown away we haven't covered, and we definitely have to, because it is 100% kind of topical right now, but in a way that, you'll see. I'm going to give...
I'm curious if I know of this.
Give full credit to this one, to Eric Pilgrim over at Divid's Hub for, like, pulling all the information together. It's pretty amazing. So...
That's a good article, Pilgrim.
On a partially cloudy day in Kentucky, January 7th, 1948, with mild temperatures. High 40s, and visibility at 10 miles, zero precipitation. Sorry, this is the first time I've talked in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, you boys were sick. I'm so happy you're here. You're feeling better now.
Thank you.
$1 million over here.
During this time, again, it's like... High 40s.
Fascinating time.
Yeah. High 40s out, visibility 10 miles, 0%
precipitation.
We'll give you a participation reward in a minute.
Flight lead Captain Thomas Mantell's F-51D Mustang crashed. It could have been a typical winter day, and probably was, if they had... serious clouds in the sky and visibility. It probably would have been great, said area weather forecaster at the time. There was just nothing much else going on weather-wise, so it probably made for a pretty great day. So the reason then, my friends, is if the weather was fine and the skies were clear,
why did he crash?
Well, it's because he and his wingmen were chasing something.
Yes, they were. I am slightly aware of the story and I'm excited for it.
That morning, calls came into Kentucky State Police from all over the state, with several Kentuckians expressing concerns at seeing a strange object in the sky. So many calls were coming in that officers decided to let Fort Knox Military Police know, who then turned to notify personnel at Godman Army Airfield. The object, traveling slowly south from Irvington to Owensboro before reaching Godman, drew a lot of attention. But it turned out it was already seen by those at Godman around 1:45 in the afternoon as it traveled over Fort Knox. Tech Sergeant Quentin Blackwell described it as resembling an ice cream-filled cone or parachute with a white top, rounded, and a conical shape underneath. It seemed plainly visible in the sky.
Like an ice cream cone flying upright, like Boba Fett's...
Upright flying yeah. ice cream cone, which is a fascinating description because it's not one we see often in UFO sightings. We get the cigar shape, we get the saucer shape, we sometimes get the hourglass shape with the smiling man, Indrid Cold. But like an ice cream one, like those are the weird ones, you know? Or like the lima bean one you sent me the other day, which we'll talk about in the minisode today.
Colonel Guy Hicks, the base commander, reported an object he described as very white and about 1/4 the size of the full moon. Through binoculars, it appeared to have a red border at the bottom. It remained stationary, seemingly for 1.5 hours. It was then that Mantell and his flight from Kentucky Air National Guard's Flight C-165th Fighter Squadron, who were participating in low-altitude navigational training, again, it was a great day for flying, heard the request from Godman to check it out. At 2:45 p.m., Mantell radioed the tower that he had spotted the object at 14,000 feet, and then at 15,000 feet, he provided an update. The object is directly ahead of me and above me now, moving at about half my speed. 30 minutes later, he radioed another update. It appears to be a metallic object, or possibly reflections of sun from metallic object. It is of a tremendous size. I'm still climbing. The object is above and ahead of me at my speed or faster. I'm trying to close in for a better
fascinating
look.
Fascinating, too, because you could immediately say, if that's all they saw, they didn't get closer. Ice cream-shaped thing could be balloon, like from a distance. You know the way, like a hot air-type balloon or some sort of metallic
like
balloon,
holding
weather
like
balloon.
A, like an army man parachute kind of vibe.
Yeah. Like it just kind of goes up and, you know, it goes up to where it's inflated and then it can just travel. But as it gets closer and bigger it gets, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. One of the pilots in his flight had to return to base because he didn't have enough oxygen, I believe, for the flight for his mask.
God, yeah, they were climbing high.
Yeah. And now as they continue to climb, the two remaining wingmen also had to return to base because they did not have the proper equipment because, again, they were doing low altitude training. And now they're going higher and higher and higher. Meanwhile, Mantell decides to continue the pursuit because he wants someone to have eyeballs on this thing. He radios in at 3:30 p.m. that he's going to fly for about 10 more minutes at around 25,000 feet. When the other pilots return to get masks and rejoin Mantell, the tower recorded one of the men is saying the following. It appears like the reflection of sunlight on my airplane canopy.
What?
Whatever that means.
So it's probably like, yeah, it sounds like the sun is probably just as bright as looking at the sun, maybe, where it's bouncing off of it and into him.
That's really a weird way of describing that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that...
I imagine he's probably, like, confused, too, though, man. I imagine the mindset he has right now is like, this is doesn't. He's never
it could
seen
be one of those situations
like
where like the dude's like upside down and he doesn't know kind of deal, you know?
Oh, like in the ocean, it's nighttime, mm-hmm, and it's pitch black and you just don't know, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's a very weird statement because I don't know whether he's saying it reflected like the sun or if it, in my canopy, it was so bright, it looked like the sun reflecting off my canopy.
Like I mistook it. Like I mistook the sun for something or it reminds me of what it feels like when the sun is shining through. Yeah,
I'm not quite sure.
Our boy, if I remember correctly, like our boy J. Allen Hynek is heavily involved in this post everything going down.
Came in and owned it.
Well, it's part of Project Blue Book, I believe.
It does have a Blue Book element, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot this is like a long ass time ago.
Yeah, this is Heine. This is the 50s. Or, well, Hynek got involved, I think, in the 50s.
This is
so
48.
A few years after.
So, yeah. But it definitely.
Yeah. So I think he got involved.
Yeah, they
in the
definitely
50s.
Pick it up again in the 50s. So, what ends up.
This is the one that they blame on Venus.
I think. What ends up happening is at 3:50 p.m., Godman Tower reported they'd lost sight of the object. However, sightings were still being reported in communities south of Fort Knox. There were a few garbled transmissions from Mantell, but at 5 p.m., debris from his plane was found near Shelby County, southeast of Louisville. In the wreckage, they noticed the seatbelt had been shredded and his watch was stopped at 3:18. Mantell wasn't a rookie. He had 2,800 flight hours, most of it in combat. He had four air medals. He had a Distinguished Flying Cross. The dude knew what was up. He knew how to fly. And they're like, no way would he
just
continue
crash.
To pursue high enough that he like lost oxygen and just plummeted to his death. They were like, there's no way that would happen. But the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena reported that the Air Force's initial assessment was that he was chasing Venus.
It's bullshit. He was not chasing Venus.
Ice cream cone?
Since a few months earlier, apparently a pilot actually really was chasing Venus. Like and
another.
Like he saw a light. He saw like a blinking light. He saw what looked like something and he chased after it. And after a while, he realized he wasn't getting any closer. And he's like, oh, it's Venus. Whoops.
No,
what the fuck?
Yeah,
but was
no,
that guy? Was that guy 2,800 combat hours, Golden Cross?
That's a different question. Yeah, I'm not sure. But that happened to a guy earlier, and so they were like, "Oh, it must be Venus."
I can't actually speak to like how disorienting it is up there. I've never flown an airplane.
It's true. Like, who fucking knows? But like Jesse said, this man is a professional warp pilot. Like, he's been around the block.
Right.
I'm imagining he would know if he needs to start leaving.
Close to an astronaut as there was. Yeah.
I will say that if you ever have the fortune to go to Maui, there's a thing that there's a mountain there, a volcano, where you can go up to the very top of it. And when you reach the summit, it is above the clouds. And a thing to do is go there and be at the top of the mountain when the sun comes up. And it's wild. You're above the clouds. So when the sun comes up, it's like you're flying. And because I took my parents up there, I had to drive down the mountain. And when you drive down the mountain above the clouds, it is so disorienting. Because you are like, there's a cliff on one side and a cliff face on the other. And in front of you, it looks like you're flying.
Yeah.
It is bizarre. So I can imagine potentially it's disorienting. But if you have 2,800 hours, you're used to it. That was 30 minutes.
You got your instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at a lot of different things.
So what ends up happening is they said it's probably Venus. Right? It happened before. Don't worry about it. But in 1952, during Project Blue Book, like Mathis was saying.
Okay, yeah. Hynek's one that I think said, no, it's not, you asshole.
After speaking with astronomers, they decided there's no way it could have been bright enough to have been seen by everyone. At that point in time and that day, with the conditions that they had, it would have been at best a pinpoint of light. This, of course, sparked massive media coverage around the world of this event. About alien invaders who had shot down Mantell. This whole thing, of course, happened 6 months after Roswell.
Right.
So alien fever was high.
Did they find evidence in the wreckage that like there was like missing ammo or like anything that there looked like maybe like got shot at or anything like that?
There was no missing ammo because these were training planes. So they weren't fire.
So he couldn't even engage this thing if he wanted to.
Yeah. He was just following it. He was trying to keep an eye on it. But his seatbelt was shredded, which they thought was weird, and his clock was stopped, which I thought was weird. And they weren't sure how that would have happened. Potentially, maybe altitude could have done that, but they don't quite know.
They find his body?
Yeah, his body was in the ship.
Okay.
He clearly died. And so investigators said that most likely what happened was he continued to climb and follow this thing, and he passed out due to oxygen deprivation around 30,000 feet and then just fell to the earth. His plane crashed.
That's a logical kind of thought, but it's like, why would he climb that high?
I mean, yeah. What was he after? Right. And that's also another reason why people were like, oh, it was Venus because he tried to catch it, but he can't, like that kind of thing. But everyone saw something.
Yeah.
Like there was something reflecting.
Yeah.
So many people saw something that it was clearly something. So the next answer was that it was, he was potentially chasing a Navy Skyhook balloon released from an Air Force base in Ohio. And this was a huge, like, high altitude balloon that was used for gathering information. Wink, wink, think about recently. And
yeah, yeah.
It was a top secret program. And of course, these people wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
But the problem with that is, and I don't know if you're getting to this, but like, the issue with that is we're now at the point where we know Skyhook was real. We know that these were balloons. So if we have evidence that this balloon was launched, why don't we see it?
Absolutely, because people said it's Skyhook.
Aliens!
Skyhook said, we have no balloon to be, like, we don't know of a balloon to be in that area.
Oh, I didn't know that part. I thought they were just keeping, the government was just like, we're not releasing any files, nope. That's all.
They admitted. They said there was no evidence that a Skyhook balloon was in the area at the time. And there's no way he would pursue it because we have no evidence.
Basically, that's not it. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, like always, that's kind of the story. They were like, all right, whatever. And then they locked this one away with all the other stories that exist about UFOs. However, what makes this one so important and one that I'm glad we're covering now is historian David M. Jacobs basically sums it up like this. The Mantell case marked a sharp shift in both public and governmental perceptions of UFOs. Previously, the press often treated UFOs like whimsical stories, and they were pretty glib with what they were. It was kind of like silly season news is what they called it.
It became real.
Sure.
Instead of like squirrels on a jet ski.
Yep. Following his death, however, Jacobs notes that the fact that a person had died in an encounter with an alleged flying saucer dramatically increased public concern about the phenomenon. Now, a dramatic new prospect entered the thought about UFOs, that they might not only be extraterrestrial, but potentially hostile as well.
So that's where this came from, invaders from outer space?
Pretty much.
It's fascinating, because there's another event that we will talk about, too. It's about another pilot, this time in Australia. He's a civilian pilot, and there's they have the thing was in the 90s. They have the audio. He was flying back, and he radios back that there's something following him, and then it's over him for a while before they lose contact with him, and he vanishes forever, gone. It's just and we have the transcript. It's crazy, but another life lost.
I wonder.
And this is one of those things that falls under, like, when you talk about that Malaysia Air and those things where when stuff just disappears, it is now put into the category of like maybe aliens, when before that's something we never would have thought of or even considered or even expected. And it's because of events like this where so many people saw something and people chased it down, and then a dude died because of it, that people were like, we have to, at least it's in the ethos now.
Yeah.
It's part of us.
I mean, going back to disclosure for a second, like, I wonder, like, the people, whoever's out there deciding what we're ready to hear, right? If that's a real thing, you know, I've seen the memo. I think it was Roosevelt era memo about, like,
there's also, yeah, sorry.
Well, just that plan to, like, kind of slowly change the conversation, right? Like, so, like,
there's also the issue of, like, there's apparently people that are so heavily religious in our government that they see these things. Jesse sent us a thing as a joke, but they don't see these things as potentially ETs. They see them as
angels or whatever.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the reason they don't want to, which I can kind of believe, maybe, depending on who's the one that's pulling the levers of information.
I just wonder if the idea of them being violent, entering the zeitgeist in 1947, like the same year as the OG crash, where we're really thinking about aliens as something that could exist. I wonder if that was like good for the message or bad for the message. Like, whoever was deciding what we needed to know, you know, whoever knows what happened at Roswell, I wonder if like the aliens being hostile was like a good thing for them or a bad thing for them. It's kind of interesting to think about.
I don't know. It's interesting, too, because, like, what if they weren't hostile? What if it just fucking crashed into it because it moved erratically or fast or got close?
Right.
And it was just a weird thing. And then there's the other possibility that if, you know, taking into consideration with a heavy grain of salt that they're extraterrestrials, who say they're all the same thing, the same being from the same, like, that they're, you know, you can't answer those questions.
Maybe the ice cream people are getting a bad rap, dude. They didn't shoot that guy down.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we're never coming back here on vacation again.
Maybe that vision of the future was actually the past. You know what I mean? Or maybe that vision of the past was actually the future, and the kid is sitting there with you in the room. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Dude, time isn't real. This is like continually being proved to, you know, like that's all part of it. Who fucking knows? Like, I don't know. It's interesting too, because you say at this particular time, the government is about to go through all of their files starting from 1946 with the Trinidad crash before Roswell. And so this, I imagine, is going to be in the files that they re-examine and reinvestigate. It'll be one of the first ones they get done because it's so early.
And normally when I look at a story like this, the first thing I would say would be, okay, so it's an ice cream cone alien ship. That's stupid. It probably isn't real. Probably a balloon, whatever. Here's the thing, though. That one thing you sent me, that stabilized video, I don't know what the hell that Boba Fett ship is, but that thing
I know
looks real as hell. And I'm like, what is this?
Are we going to talk about that in the minisode?
Yeah. I want to talk about that in the minisode and the one that flies by
that
the pilot.
Type of shit. That, to me, right there, that one we're going to talk about, that feels like the ice cream cone to me. You know what I mean?
It's wild. What's funny too is that like, it's, you don't know what it is. It doesn't look like it's moving in any general, like it makes no sense with what you're looking at. And I love that we even found the Guillermo del Toro. I didn't know this man in an interview for a magazine said that he had a UFO encounter. And the first thing he was like, he's like, I wish I could tell you it looked cool, but it's just like everybody said, it's just a flat saucer. And then I ran out of there because I had never been more terrified in my life.
Guillermo del Toro was like, it's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
He was like, we did not consume the beer. We just had beer on us and we saw it. And we, the funniest thing is that he gave it like the fucking, like the wire when they like, they're like, come over here and let's like pull up next to each other, where he like flashed it down and then it came over and checked him out. And he's like, your spaceship is basic. I'm Guillermo del Toro.
He's peeled out.
Have you been to my cabinet of curiosities where I have much better alien designs?
I do love the fact that like this guy who like is involved in creating some of the wildest monsters out there and like design. He looked at this and was like, amateurs. I think that's hilarious.
That makes it more credible to me that Guillermo del Toro, who saw it and critiqued it like that, and was, but also admitted how horrified he was.
That we need more stories like that. Yes. Listen, I'm here for that. We need more stories where he's like, stupid aliens. That ship sucks.
I love it because it makes it so much more real to me. Mr. Del Toro, Jefe, if you're out there, please come on our show and tell us about your basic UFO
encounter. I bet we could make it happen.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I would love to. Are you kidding me? Dream come true. Like, I don't watch many movies, but I've seen all of his. Like, I love his shit.
I can't believe you haven't seen the X-Files.
The UFO thing right now is, again, it doesn't feel like it's slowed down. It seems like it stayed at a very stable, high temperature in terms of, like, how UFOs are being treated in modern-day media right now. And we're seeing a lot of, suddenly, I feel like we're seeing a deluge of much clearer videos. And it's interesting because it's like, they look, the two that we get to, that we're going to be talking about, look so weird, but fit descriptions. The way it flies belly first with that one we see is a description Bob Lazar is given, which Bob Lazar, I do not know if I believe that man or not, but it's so weird what aspects of his story. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's wild. And it's just cool to be able. I'm so glad we're doing this podcast while this is going on, even if it leads to nothing. It's fun and fascinating.
What's interesting to me is that the explanations have not changed. The new things, balloons.
They've never changed.
1948, yep. Balloons.
Balloons.
And
swamp
gas. And the thing is like, potentially, if it is proven that it was all balloons the entire time, great. But why so many mysterious balloons? Like, it's such a very bizarre thing.
When you're giving us, when we have pictures of the Chinese spy balloon in high definition and video footage of the Russian drone encounter thing, that, why are we getting those within 24 hours? But the three things we shot down, we still don't know.
It could be like the same, you know, it's the same thing about, you know, people say, maybe the reason that nobody knows who killed JFK is because some dude shot him in the head on his own detail and it's just too embarrassing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's, God damn it. Just,
it could be.
All of these things are embarrassing from 1940 fucking six to now.
That's really a big part of it. I mean, like, if you're thinking about politics and you think about posturing on a global scale, right? Global security, yeah. Right? Like, if we spent $80 million or whatever it costs to fire missiles to shoot down three like fucking Grinch balloons. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that we want that to come out because that's like actually fucked up. Like, in Congress, that could like change policy to find out that, oh, it was actually just three Grinch balloons that we shot down with like the best missiles we have.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. For this particular incident, yeah, I would say that is an explanation I could buy. That they were just so fucking dumb that they shot down their own shit, but no private company has come forward. And you know, like, if it would have to be their own government property that they probably shot down, which is, I'm not saying is out of the realm of possibility completely, but it doesn't explain the almost century of UFO like recorded history we have now. We're coming up on that like century mark. We'll be alive for it. And like, there's so many things like the Phoenix lights and all these other UFO videos of pilots.
Yeah.
And, or just like ones that no logical explanation fits that we can find.
It's like, it's consensus.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things where, again, you have to accept that it's something. Like, I'm with you on that. I'm totally on board that it's something, but I just don't like, I don't know what answers there are, because the answers, it's either you full on believe an alien from space came into the light show, or it's some wacky government thing, or it's flares or balloons. The spectrum of what it could be is so wide and dramatic that you're just like, yo, just tell us something so we can stop.
I want to believe, you know,
this is why, though, like, I think we live in a much more exciting time than people realize, because as quantum science before our eyes,
you are on this. I got you that day, man. I unlocked a door for you.
You did, because it's starting to fit a lot of like the weird encounters, just how very we just don't know about reality. Like the fascinating thing about the wormhole thing that they made a blueprint for, if they can make it happen, even though it's a wormhole the size of an atom, like tiny, they can start running tests on reality itself. They can start to see what works, what doesn't, how is this thing, how do these things work, why is entanglement,
turn blindly, that's for sure,
you know. But like, the more we explore this, which is scientific like reality and fact, the more the alien quote unquote thing is a little bit more plausible than it was, say, 2-3 years ago.
I mean, the alien thing is incredibly plausible, because just like, look at the size of the universe. Like, you have to believe based on evidence that there has to be something.
And if wormholes, if we even make a wormhole that's the size of an atom, that means it's possible, period. Yeah. And that means folding space and time is doable.
Yeah, I definitely, again, 100% believe that, like, there's something out there. The problem is, like, explanation-wise of why an alien would come, hover, flash some lights, and leave doesn't make any sense. But again, I guess I'm not an alien, so, like, I don't know. Maybe, it could be 13-year-olds who are like,
yeah, they just, yeah, like, literally.
Yeah, they could be. Like, they could be anything from them clowning to that these things are unmanned and are just taking data of the planet that they don't necessarily know is inhabited. It could be manned things that just, we, like you said, we can't understand alien thought. We don't know what their reality is like, their how they operate, how they think. It's impossible. We could just be that island in the middle of a populated universe that people don't touch because we haven't figured it out yet. You know, we're like the indigenous people who...
You waiting for first contact, man. I was about to say, you out there waiting.
Yeah, that's it.
Waiting for the Vulcans to show up.
I mean, that'd be cool. I'm not saying that'd be sick, but also they could be reality weirdness and just stuff we don't. Yeah, I don't know. I could talk about this for an eternity if that wasn't clear.
It's very strange to me that there's so many examples of this. But again, what makes this story that we did today interesting is it's the first time people thought, oh man, maybe they could kill us. And that takes it to another level. And it does bring up the fact that you said earlier, Mathis, like, and I guess what you were talking about, Alex, the idea of, do they want to tell us? Because it could get weird. Like, if it's scary.
It could scare people.
Yeah. Here, I want to believe scary. That most people
especially
are.
Especially if they're interdimensional reality based. That would, I feel like that would
it's
scare
not
people.
Any scarier than that would be to me, like Kim Jong-un shooting a nuke either. At us. You know what I mean? Like. I'm hearing all about that. I definitely lived through 2018
how we experience
when I was
life.
Waking up every night thinking about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. And I think coming to it from a religious perspective as well, the idea that people would be worried, that they would like, if you're truly religious, you'd be like, God probably created them too.
That just like, sounds you like don't, the same.
It's not a logic leap to be like the universe, an omnipresent, omnipotent being couldn't be like, I made all of this. Like, it's not that far of a leap if you're already in. It baffles me that they're concerned.
It just sounds to me like the same government religion mixture that's fucking a lot of things up right now, if you think about it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Because, like, it might all just be consciousness-based, because we don't know what consciousness is, and we keep trying to figure it out, but we can't. We don't know. It's too complex. We don't understand. Ah, I love this shit, man.
All I'm saying
that's
is,
a great story to Jesse. Because anything government-related to is always fascinating, because you know you're getting as many facts as you can be.
Maybe it's the mods. You ever think about that? Maybe in our MMO, also, that is our reality, maybe those spaceships aren't aliens at all.
Damn,
maybe.
Dude.
Maybe, yeah, they're maybe. GM hacking. They got, they're buying hacks.
Do you think I could, like...
That's why they disappear. Their account gets deleted.
Yeah. Can I, like, cipher this thing and get on their good side and, like, get an upgrade or something? That'd be great. Like, armor shows up.
Shit. Yeah. Gold version of your regular clothes.
The last thing I want to say, UFO related, before we end the episode, is, like, in regards to those three things being shot down, a freedom... I know I shared it with you boys because it's been a couple weeks, but a Freedom of Information Act was filed a while back for any video footage, pictures, et cetera. And it did come back and they denied it for, not because it doesn't exist, but for security, national security reasons. And in another.
Did I miss what you said they FOIA'd? Just aliens in general?
No, the three ships they shot down, or three things they shot down. Yeah.
Yeah. They said national security and a weird law where they can at any point make something classified and not to be released, and they did that with whatever this was.
Look, this is not aliens, but this just goes to show you,
no, obviously,
government stuff. This is absolutely true. It's insane. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but a month or so ago, on a Minecraft Discord server,
dude, yeah,
someone leaked files from the Ukraine war that shows, like, allied deaths, movements, like, background information about, like, the U.S. and friends and people fighting the side of Ukraine. It was on a Minecraft Discord server.
Somebody got
server.
Some secrets, and they were like, how about these state secrets?
Yeah. And it was there. It
oh
was
my
there
God.
For a month, and no one knew. And what's crazy about that,
that's
one,
insane.
That's insane, but two, you know for a fact that somewhere there's a classified document of the Joint Chiefs sitting around a table being like, so, Mr. President, do you know what Minecraft is? Like, that happened, dude.
Yeah.
And that's, and there's
to.
No way.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is there's no way they'd ever publicly acknowledge a conversation like that happened because it's so embarrassing.
That's exactly
and
what
think,
I'm saying.
Again,
yeah. Like, that's a huge, like, people think that's not a good explanation, but it kind of is a good explanation.
That is
when
deadly,
right now
exactly
that's
it.
Happening on the Minecraft servers. And I'm hearing rumors that people in the, who are prosecuting Trump right now for the documents that he was, like, holding on to are, like, we're asking people, like, mm-hmm. Did he show you a map? Did you see a map? And I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like,
I wonder why Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis.
I don't know.
Last
I'm
year.
Just saying.
Huh. But again, weird, it's embarrassing. Weird. It's one of those things where because the Trump stuff hit the news, suddenly you saw them be like, yo, President Biden, when you were vice president, did you leave? They started hitting other people up and they definitely left with stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone left with
they
stuff.
They realized they had a problem.
It seems like everybody
but
did.
That's the thing. Trump's the government too. You can't forget it. Like, as much as I don't want it to be true.
Yeah.
Right. Like that dude is also very representative of, like, the way many people in the government operate. And so, you know, especially for people like that, embarrassment is, like, a big deal. If you can't, you know, deal with not being the main character of the world for 5 seconds, you know, hiding your little mistake.
It's so freeing for me, man, knowing I'm not the fucking main character. I'm good.
The man said the officers, when he was in court, were crying because it was so unjust.
There's pictures.
That never happened.
Pictures.
Like,
even
you
though
live,
they were on camera.
If you're so afraid of embarrassment that you make up realities. Like,
even though we have a camera footage of him being not even the door hitting him because no one held it for him. He didn't realize
it's
it.
Such a, like, you're absolutely right, Alex. I'm convinced that we're sitting here talking about, like, oh, it's potentially aliens. I bet it's way more embarrassing. Yeah. Like, it's some kid's drone.
That's what I'm saying.
And, like, they shot it down.
They got in,
like,
a panic over that Chinese moon, that thing they disguised as the moon.
And they felt like they had to do something every time something popped up.
It was happening,
so they launched,
like, real quick.
$1 million missiles at, like, toy drones.
It
absolutely.
It doesn't sound.
Dude, it was more than million. It was like $8 million
that's
missiles.
What I'm saying. It doesn't sound that dumb when you realize who's making the calls. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, if we just didn't make, like, 10 of those, we could probably do Medicare for all. You know what I mean?
Like, a lot of the reason why, and this is something, like, when I, you know, I'm a YouTuber, right? Like, I don't, well, sure. I do both still very much, but I just mean, like,
How dare you? Like, you're a podcaster now.
When I first went to like a YouTube like office, I'm not going to say which one it was, but I went to one and I got there and I was looking around and I was talking to everybody. I was meeting everybody and I was seeing what they were doing and I was finding out how they did their jobs. And I was looking at like guys with like $10,000 cameras that were just pressing record on them. Didn't know what they were doing. I'm helping out at live.
You walked around and realized, oh, okay.
Nobody knows what they're doing. I was walking around at a live stream event that was like probably cost $80,000 to put on. And I'm like, you got to plug this in into the thing to get the audio to work. And I'm like, okay, so nobody knows what they're doing. And then you think, no, like the government can't like make a mistake like that because it's the government. The government it's serious business. No, there is no serious business. It's just a bunch of people pretending like they know what they're doing all the way up to the top, to the president. Right now,
we have an 89-year-old woman who's fucking suffering from dementia who refuses to step down. Like Senator Feinstein, nobody knows. Nobody's doing anything for themselves.
The president of the United States is following his like little Irish weeb heart out into Ireland to like chase his dreams and have a great time taking selfies in Ireland. It's like, it's just a bunch of people with their own little weird motivations. And we're lucky that whoever came up with this beautiful system of checks and balances that we have to convince everybody that somehow, and maybe, I don't know, maybe in the 50s, maybe in the 40s, shit was going great. Maybe it was all steel traps.
It was never going great.
It was never going great. Specific subset of people.
I just will remind you of the book that we just recently read and how Mickey Mouse everything is and how crazy it all is. Like, that element of the alien thing, you know, like that never happens in the X-Files, where it's just like, you know, four guys get caught with their pants down. You know what I mean? Like, but that aliens are. Aliens
factor.
Could just be a perfect way to let people not look into, you know, some guy who got scared when the car moved and shot JFK in the head, and some guy who got scared when they saw a moon balloon that drifted over from China, and then they had to shoot down a Grinch balloon over the Atlantic Ocean. You know what I mean? Using tag team.
But the UFO
militaries.
Things, we still have things like the Phoenix Lights, though, where things where there is.
Yeah, I'm not saying aliens don't exist. Stuff.
I have to defend it, man. I can't help it. It's like a personal attack.
I get it. I'm not saying aliens don't exist. I'm just saying, when you start to figure that into it, it's a miracle that we know fucking anything at all for sure. That's all I'm saying.
That's why I would say if they are non-man-made, it's more likely the government just doesn't fucking know and it scares them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That could be it.
We've talked about this before. Even if it is something they do know, it flying over our airspace is also scary. Like, it's
and
all
doing
fear
things
based.
Physics don't.
That's why I wonder. Yeah. That's why I wonder.
We don't want to scare the public.
Going back to the ice cream cone. Yeah, just exactly. Going back to the ice cream cone. That's why I wonder. Like, I wonder if it was a good thing or a bad thing that this case put the idea that aliens will kill us into the zeitgeist so early. I wonder if that was good for us learning about what's going on out there, bad, or if it was just a bunch of fucking Grinch balloons. Who knows?
I just, in my mind, like I now have
Grinch.
A, like,
I feel like
I have my own story, my own alternate universe version of this where like the first attempted aliens coming to Earth accidentally crashed and they're like, oh, Morglock, what? Okay. Send the peaceful ice cream people. Let's see what we can do. And the ice cream aliens come down. They're like, all right, so we're going to land and let everyone in this town. This is called Kentucky.
Yeah.
We're going to let everyone know in this place, Kentucky, that we exist. And then they get chased down by a guy who dies. They're like, oh, no. And now they have to go back to the council. And they're like, you did what? Okay. This is going to be a problem.
If you think about
it's been that way ever since.
That's kind of the plot of Arrival if you're thinking about it from the point of view of the aliens.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I've never seen Arrival, so I'm just going to say that's true.
What? You can't say that's true then. Mathis, we need to sit you down.
I trust you.
Maybe we have to watch
Arrival.
You
say this every time you discover. I think you've learned I haven't seen Arrival
three
separate times.
I already knew you haven't watched Arrival. I just assumed that you haven't seen it.
We're
going to watch X-Files next time on Rotten Popcorn. I've already decided. I'm going to strong arm us into it. We're going to get you over your onboarding process. We're going to get you in there together like homies. We're going to get some chicken wings.
What are we going to watch? Which episode?
X-Files episode 1 and 2. That's what it's going to be.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be great.
young David Duchovny.
Speaking of aliens wanting to be violent, by the way, I'd much more believe we are the Klingons of this universe than anything else.
I mean, I don't even want to call us the Klingons.
They're probably like, don't fuck with the space monkeys with nukes.
We're like a little Klingon, but we're also like a lot Ferengi. Let's not pretend.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit of Ferengi, a little bit of Klingon. Anyway, you know about ChatGPT?
Yes, I've been messing with it. I've been messing with ChatGPT 4.0 and Google's Bard. Google's Bard scares the shit out of me a little bit.
In the minisode, I'm going to talk about Chaos GPT a little bit.
Okay. Oh, is it another like break kind of thing? Okay. I'm excited. All right. We're off to go do a minisode. If you enjoyed the past two minisode compilations that we did, which were six minisodes in total, there's still over 30 more that are in the Patreon that you have to listen to. And they just kind of get longer and longer as time goes.
And the hits in the feds, what is it? Fed to the rules and it hit the... No, I was trying to do an all-star joke, but I just couldn't remember the lyrics.
You tried.
Yeah.
You tried.
The hits keep coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and they hit the ground running.
Hit the ground running.
Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.